The reading this evening is from Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 12, in the ESV version. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. For he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As for one whom men hid their faces, he was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he is pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him as the chastisement that brought us peace, and with the wounds we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before us shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for the generation who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was to put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for his guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one be my servant. Make many to the accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession of the transgressors.
Our next reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Good evening, everyone. Am I on? Oh, thanks for joining us for this communion service. And over these services, we tend to take an aspect of the cross of Jesus Christ and spend a few minutes trying to understand the riches to be found from each aspect. And indeed, what happened at the cross is worthy of being considered, isn't it? And again and again, we try to understand and appreciate and cherish what it meant for us and even what it means today. And every time we do that, we discover that there's more to know and there's more to love about Jesus. And so tonight, we focus on one verse. Thank you, Karis, for reading. You could spend an eternity breaking down this verse and never reach the bottom of it. So I hope in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so we can see a little bit more of the beauty of our Savior and what he has done for us. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 is the verse in focus tonight. And I'll read it just now. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And again, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And as mentioned already in these verses, we have riches beyond understanding. And notice though how the verse opens, for our sake. And before Paul tells us anything about what happened subsequently, he tells us who it was for our sake, for you and for me. And keep that in mind as we work through the other phrases in this verse. And the first phrase I want to dwell on is the phrase, who knew no sin. And it seems like a slightly backwards way to do it, but I think it's important that to feel the weight of what happens next, we need to sit a few minutes with who Jesus is. The fact that he knew no sin. And Paul does describe him as one who knew no sin. And in Hebrews 4, verse 15, we read this. Jesus was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. But in this verse, I think Paul goes a little bit further than that. He just didn't resist sin. He knew no sin. There's an added layer here. It's not that he was just tempted and resisted sin. He knew no sin. He had no inner corruption, no guilt, no guilty conscience, no pull or direction towards sin at all. And the Apostle Peter adds to that detail a little bit in 1 Peter 2 and 22, again quoting from Isaiah 53. He says, he committed no sin, neither was there any deceit found in his mouth. And the essence of that is that there wasn't even a touch of sin. Not sin wasn't even close to him. No ounce of malice, no spin, no self-protection, no white lies, no half-truths, and no sense of wrongdoing was attached to Jesus at all. And we all know sin from the inside, don't we? We know the pull of it. We experience the guilt and the shame of sin. We know wrongdoing inside out. But Jesus knew none of that. Not once in thought, word, or deed did he ever trespass. Not an ounce of sin was to be found in this man. And I think it goes even deeper than that. It goes deeper than just the absence of sin. Think of the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thinking about Jesus, there wasn't a moment in time or in all of eternity that Jesus didn't do exactly that perfectly and completely every single moment without interruption. Just think on that. So it's not just the absence of sin, it's the positive righteousness. Jesus isn't sinless in the way that a child appears innocent, simply unaware of wrongdoing. No, he is righteous the way God is righteous. By nature, sinless. But more than that, he is truth. He is love. And he is life itself. Jesus himself is the standard by which we judge what's right. He himself is righteousness and morality. Not someone who has achieved righteousness or gained righteousness, but someone who by his very nature is righteousness himself. This is what Paul's talking about. He knew no sin. And so hold that thought as we consider the next phrase. So going back a little bit, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Let's consider that phrase now. He made him to be sin. So having established that Jesus knew no sin, we now read that God made this perfect man to be sin. And we've just heard Isaiah 53 read, and if you have your Bibles open, you can go back to verse 12. And it says there that he was numbered with the transgressors. 700 years before it happened, Isaiah prophesied of the suffering servant, the suffering Savior, the suffering Messiah who was to come. And the night before his death in the upper room, Jesus himself quotes that very line. And Luke records that for us in his gospel, Luke 22:37. And Jesus says that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, that I would be numbered with the transgressors. He knew exactly what was coming, yet pursued it to the very end. And we read on in Luke's Gospel, Luke 23, verse 33, that the very next day Jesus was crucified. And he was crucified with two others, one to his right, one to his left. The sinless one flanked by criminals. How could this be? He had no business being there. We have just heard that he knew no sin, not by his own record, not by a single thing that he had ever done or thought. And yet there he is in the middle of criminals, being treated as though he was guilty. And yet here in our verse, we read that God made him to be sin. This wasn't an accident. Verse 6 of Isaiah 53, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The full weight of our moral corruption, our moral failure before God laid on Jesus Christ, crushed for our iniquities. Verse 10, perhaps the most sobering line in the whole of Isaiah 53, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. I want to pause there for a moment because that sounds a bit harsh. It was the will of the Lord to crush him? Was the Father being cruel to his Son here? Was this some kind of punishment for something that Jesus himself had done? The answer is this, no, not at all. The reason is that there was simply no other way for guilty man to stand before holy God. There was no other person in all of history, no other being in creation was capable of bearing what needed to be borne, the full weight of sin and the sin of the world. Only the sinless Son of God could stand in our place. Only he was able, only he was fit to be our ransom, our redeemer. This was Father and Son together saying, this is the only way to do it. The seed of the woman must crush the head of the serpent. And there's only one seed. God's way of redeeming the sinful world. And was this harsh? No. Well, 1 John 4:10 tells us this. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, a really important word. The wrath that we deserved, fully satisfied in Jesus Christ. Not cruelty, but the greatest demonstration of God's love to our broken world. And think of it in terms of debt. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin I've ever committed, every failure, every rebellion, things that we keep in the secret chambers of our hearts. Things that we think that nobody else knows. Think of all of that as a moral debt that you could never repay. And on that cross, that great exchange took place, a great transaction took place. The greatest deal ever made. God transferred your entire debt, morally corrupt, my entire debt, transferred that into Jesus' account. He paid for what he didn't owe because you and I owed what we could never ever pay. He bore it specifically for you and for me. And this is why the night before his death in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, fell on his face and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then goes on to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hear the anguish in his voice. The agony, the separation from his Father, because he knew what that cup would contain. The wrath that our sin deserved. And he knew what dying on that cross meant. God making him the perfect, sinless, righteous one to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin, made sin for us to bear that punishment that we deserved. He who knew no sin, made to be sin. And that's what was really happening on that middle cross. The other two guys deserved what they got. But God made this one to be sin, who knew no sin. And two things were happening there, visibly on display to the world. Jesus died a criminal's death. That's what people saw. They thought he was a criminal. He died in the place of a criminal. But spiritually and invisibly, the Father was laying on him the full weight of human sin, human guilt, guilt not his own, poured out on him that wrath that we deserved. So, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin. Now on to the final phrase in this verse. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. And this is what makes the cross the greatest exchange, as Johnny mentioned. The greatest substitution, rather than just a tragedy. Our debt is transferred to him. But not only that, his righteousness credited to us. Not just forgiven, not just a record wiped clean, although that in and of itself would be quite extraordinary, just to have a new record, a slate wiped clean. But not only that, we're given abundantly more than we've ever deserved. Paul says, we become the righteousness of God in him, his perfect record. Every moment of perfect love towards his Father, every pure thought, word and deed, every truth put into our account, counted as ours, as though we have earned it. But we haven't. We stand before God, not just pardoned, but clothed in the righteousness of his own Son. And notice the phrase, in him, so that in him we become the righteousness of God. This is a special union with Jesus. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing, a special bond, so that in him, whosoever believes in him, we're righteous because we're united to the one who is righteous. His life becomes ours. His spirit becomes ours. It's his righteousness. And we are his. So by inheritance, we stand before God as righteous. Can you believe that? We can stand before a holy God and claim the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. What transformation from where we came from the depths of sin to the righteousness of Jesus himself. This is amazing. This is good news. This is the gospel. We are saved to the very end, to the uttermost, saved completely. No stone left unturned, done, finished. And it all comes back to where it started. Why did God do all of this? Well, we go back to the first three words of our verse. For our sake. For us. For people in this room tonight. Undeserving though we are. About to take this bread and cup. For our sake. He who knew no sin. Made sin. That we might become the righteousness of God. And so, as we take the bread and cup in a moment, this is who we remember. The body of the one who knew no sin, no deceit in his mouth, no shadow of wrongdoing. The one who loved perfectly, always, broken for our sake. And as we take the cup, we remember the one who was numbered with transgressors, so that we could be numbered with the righteous. So as you take the bread and cup, take it with wonder, take it with amazement, take it with gratitude to the one who knew no sin, made sin for us. And so as we sing our next song, we sing it knowing that he has done it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. This is the reason why we can sing this song. It's because he has done it. Made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God.